Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hawk Talk podcast on the Q Media Podcast Network. I am your host, Parker Limonstone. Today, I am joined by my good friend, Tony Lundy. Tony, how you doing today, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just got back from calling a doubleheader for the QU baseball team, so we will be touching on some QU baseball along with the GLVC baseball season here today, along with the big changes in the men's basketball coaching ranks and some other fun things for hockey and basketball playoff season.
Sounds perfect to me.
Well, let's get things started here. On the baseball side of things for QU, currently as of this recording, they just wrapped up their doubleheader with Southwest Baptist University, where they swept the doubleheader. They have now won three straight, all of them over South Baptist. Hawks bats looking good in the process. Pitching staff also looking good. Little rough spots maybe here and there, but overall looking good. Tony, you were in the crowd for the game. What did you think you saw from the Hawks today?
I wasn't there for the first game, but I was there for the second game. We'll say that's probably the better of the two. But, you know, the people that, you know, weren't the biggest names on the team or whatnot are stepping up, and it's good to see that. I mean, I'll just say Jake Vitale. Jake Vitale, he's done great this whole series against SBU. Charlie Allison, he was doing great. Broughton is still shining. He's still doing his thing. I think a lot of it's coming from the middle of the order to the back, and it's just helping. It's helping Simps out, and it's helping Dusty and Huff, who are usually at the top, and even JD. Like, everybody this whole series so far has been making great contact.
Oh, absolutely. And another positive for the Hawks is the three games they've played right now as of this recording have had three quality starts from all your starters. Griffin Kern, Kobe Essien, and Tom Kanzemius have the stats all pulled up right here. So Griffin Kern, in game one of the series, went six innings, only surrendered one earned run, struck out eight batters, like another quality start from Kern, something we've kind of just come to expect from him this entire year. Definitely given the conversation for one of the best pitchers in the GLVC. And then for the second game, which was game one of today's game, Kobe Essien goes six innings, strikes out nine, only surrenders two earned runs, and then Tom Kanzemius goes out there for game number three, goes five innings, I think gives up two earned runs. So all very good quality starts, all three of them getting the winning pitcher bid. So it's really nice to see that evolving from the Hawks.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's great to see, and I think it was awesome at the fact that, you know, this weekend we got to see a lot of new faces out on the field, whether it was pitching or hitting in general. I think my personal favorite, just because I know him so well, was Evan today. Went out, you know, 6'8", has a lot of, you know, motion on his pitches. Got shelled a little bit, but he battled through it. The first inning that he was in, he did really well. Especially that strikeout that caught the batter looking. That was great. I think today, from what I saw, just being there for game two, it was just like, that umpire, man, he was a tough guy to crack today.
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting to see what he was calling all the time for strikes and balls, because there were times where, like, if you hit the corner of a strike zone or just hit the line of it, he would call it, and then the next moment, you throw the exact same pitch. Like, I think it was Essien who threw the same pitch. It was a curveball. Hit the right side of the strike zone. Just barely. One pitch, the ump calls it a strike. The next, he calls it a ball.
Was it the same umpire for game one and game two?
Indeed it was. Okay.
Yeah, just watching. I mean, a lot of low pitches were called, but not a lot of high pitches. I mean, I was very shocked. Like, belt high stuff was just not hitting for this guy. So I think today's game was just a battle for the pitchers, and it wasn't even like, it was just them testing themselves. Like, you know, we saw when Evan came in for the last two innings, he just looked a little frustrated because, like, from our view, I mean, I was pretty up close, but from our view, it was just like, man, that I thought that was a good pitch, and it just didn't go. So, I mean, there was that, and then I think Kenzemius was a little flustered at the time, but how could you not be?
Absolutely. When the strike zone's constantly changing on you, not quite Angel Hernandez bad. I don't think the ump got to that level where we're seeing fastballs go right down the middle, be called for a ball. I mean, we're not gotten to that level, so credit to him at least for that. But, yeah, very inconsistent strike zone in today's game. So it'll be interesting if the same umpiring crew comes back for game four, see how that kind of all changes up.
I will say it did go both ways, though, because I was seeing Southwest Baptist pitchers just so frustrated today. I mean, like when I think it was their second reliever that came in, he ended up walking, and he was just kind of dumbfounded by the fact that the last pitch was called for a ball. So,
yes, you're right, Tony. And also, like, especially that first game of the doubleheader, they were up 2-1. They looked like they kind of had the game in hand. The Hawks bats were struggling to get base hits. Matter of fact, in the first game, I think it was almost 4 or 5 innings into the game, the Hawks took to get their first official hit with Joe Huffman, because originally J.D. Ortiz did have a hit, but they ended up changing it and ruling of an error. Mm. So the Hawks were struggling game one, and then one inning in the bottom of the sixth, sack fly for Brock Boynton, cut the lead to 1, and then Austin Simpson, absolute moonshot to take a 4-2 lead, and then Roman Harrison came in and finished the job, getting his 6th save of the year. So it was all around a competitive game, but then Southwest Baptist has also had to deal with 2 of the 3 games now where they have been blown out of the water by the Hawks bats, where the Hawks bats have just constantly been pounding them into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, today there was a lot of singles. Yesterday there was a whole bunch of singles. But I was upset I didn't get to see the Simpson homer. I always like watching him take a yard. But that second game, man, he was piecing the ball so well. He had 2 of them probably close to warning track for an out. And then the other one was just, like, the one that he took oppo that ended up being a loud out, I was just like, I was shocked. I couldn't believe that it didn't carry. But that wind was blowing from left to right, so.
Absolutely. The wind played a huge factor in that game. But kind of just also cool little moments to see here. Alex Pickus getting his first collegiate career appearance and getting strikeout 2 batters, went 1-2-3 in the side. So he's sporting a 0 ERA.
He looked good. I'll tell you that. He looked really good.
Maybe we need to see a little more of Pickus.
That's what I'm hoping for. Who knows? Maybe he'll play tomorrow. Who knows?
Hopefully that's foreshadowing.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
But we've also want to see like more of Ben Drager. I mean, he's been looking great as well. 3 appearances, 2.7 ERA. Josh Hempelman's been looking great with a 3.24 ERA and 8 appearances. So the Hawks do have some really good arms in their bullpen that looks like they are starting to emerge. And that's something that's going to need to come out here as we get closer to the GLVC Conference Tournament. And on that note, we're going to kind of go through the GLVC Conference standings here and kind of just forecast how this final stretch of 9 games at this moment of recording is going to pan out. So,
what's the magic numbers? No, just kidding.
Well, for some teams, the magic numbers ain't so pretty. So we'll start things off first with the bottom. Upper Iowa is currently in last in the GLVC. In 14th, they currently have a 6-21 record in the conference. Been a really rough year for them with a 9-29 overall record. Currently, we have a 2-way tie for the 12th and 13th seeds between McKendree and Southwest Baptist, both being 7-20 in the conference. However, McKendree holds a tiebreaker due to having a better overall record. Truman State, just above those guys, in 11th with an 8-19 record. Those 4, it seems like, are kind of just, unless something huge happens in these last 9 games,
right,
they're kind of just out there trying to play spoiler, just kind of looking towards next year. But it gets very, very interesting when we look to the 10th place to 5th place scenarios. Because let me tell you this, Tony. The difference between the 10th seed Missouri S&T And the fifth seed William Jewell Cardinals is two games. Two games. That can change easily in one series. And the teams involved in this race are Missouri S&T, Illinois Springfield, Quincy, Lewis, Rockhurst, William Jewell.
It's too many teams you just said right there. Too many.
Way too many. And that's why it's going to be a great race to the end. So if you're going to keep track on some sport going on right now, it's at the end of their season, outside of the pros, checking on the GLVC when it comes to baseball because they're in for a great finish. We wrap up all the series tomorrow of this recording. Maryville and UIndy are going at it. Tomorrow, their series has been huge for UIndy. They ended up eclipsing Maryville for the number one spot in the GLVC. So credit to them. They currently have a two-game lead on Maryville, only a one-game lead for first, though, on Drury. So Drury's been also having a good year.
To be fair about UIndy, I think UIndy should probably be number one overall in general. I just think they're the more complete team. I think Maryville has had some horseshoe up them, you know? I think they are not as good as it's let on. I mean, I won't say that they're bad because they're nowhere near bad, but based on what they were last year to this year, I don't think that's like it's as crazy as how it seems.
Absolutely. And UIndy's also riding a hot streak how they ended last year, spoiling the party for Quincy when it looked like they were almost a team of destiny kind of thing last year. And UIndy came out of nowhere and snuck their way into Super Regional and beat the Hawks. So, I mean, UIndy's momentum has going to be going through the entire year.
Those dang UIndy's.
The Greyhounds. But also in terms of clinching a spot, no one's clinched a spot either.
Wow.
The magic number, though, for UIndy is one, and they will have a chance to clinch with either a win or UIS loss. If one of those happens somewhere down the line, UIndy will sneak their way, will get into the playoffs with the official berth. But I don't think that they're interested in that right now. I think they're interested in that number one seed and seeing who they await. Drury being at number two. Their's magic number is actually two, and then Maryville's is three. So all those three teams are kind of in that point where they're about to clinch their spots in the tournament. Missouri St. Louis, the Tritons, they're in that like weird ballpark area where they're not in the elite. But they are three games better than all the other teams in that big race. So they're kind of locked in almost at that four spot unless something drastic happens.
They're like one of those teams that you don't like. They're one of those teams like in the pros where you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that they were doing that good. Like, because you just don't ever think about them as being like a top-tier team. So, I mean, it's interesting to see that they're kind of at that point. But, yeah.
And then in terms of eliminations, now this is where it kind of gets a little interesting. Upper Iowa, Southwest Baptist, and McKendree can all be eliminated tomorrow.
Ooh.
Upper Iowa is eliminated with a combination of wins from the 14-3 teams, mainly Quincy, Lewis, Rockhurst, and William Jewell. If all those teams, because they aren't playing each other, because Lewis is actually playing Missouri S&T, Rockhurst has been playing Drury, William Jewell has been playing Truman State, and Quincy, of course, Southwest Baptist. So all those three teams could be eliminated if all four of those teams individually win. So if that happens, or Upper Iowa loses, and each one of those teams loses, both Upper Iowa, Southwest Baptist, and McKendree would be eliminated from GLVC conference play. Truman State can't be tomorrow, but they're not too far away from that themselves. But it's going to be a really good race to the finish for the GLVC when it comes to baseball, so please tune into almost as many games as you possibly can and watch this race to the finish. But that's not the only big news we have. Obviously, the big change going on in the men's basketball world for Quincy. Steve Hawkins resigns as head coach of Quincy University, heads towards D1, SIU Carbondale to be a Saluki. What does this mean for the Quincy men's basketball team going forward, Tony?
Yeah, I think it's a step in what I will hopefully say is the right direction. I think Hawk was just a, you know, big name from back in the day, and he was struggling with Division I and he's just trying to get his feet back in the water, you know, try and make a name for himself again. And I think he's done well enough to, you know, have this opportunity to take on a different job. As for the Hawks, though, I see it as not hopefully a regrouping. Like, I don't think it needs to be a rebuilding. I'm excited to see what they do for the head coaching position. I just, like I told you before, I just hope it's not like an in-house hire. And if it is, it's got to be for only a year.
Absolutely. Kind of a prove it kind of deal. Like for Tim Walsh, with how long he's been an assistant coach in the world of basketball, from what I've been able to gather, he's never really had a program to himself, whether because he's been an assistant at the D1 level, D2 level, JUCO level. He's never had that opportunity to truly be a head coach. So if the Hawks did decide to go in-house hire, he probably should be the one to get it, but it should be more on a one-year prove-it deal, as in, like, hey, you either kind of get us into the GLVC tournament or we kind of go look elsewhere. I know that there's also a lot of people looking for a young coach to come on in and try to make the program in their own image. So what do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, look at us for bowling, you know. We had Bohannon. He was a little bit older, a little bit awkward of a guy to talk to, but like when you got to know him, he was really great. But then we go for a young buck coach. He's 20, I don't even know how old he is. Mid-20s. But I mean, he relates to us more. He gives us, you know, experience that not many other coaches get because they're not as fresh out of the game as our coach was. So I think it's just like one of those things, like if you're going young, it can't be like too young, you know. It's got to be somebody that has some type of coaching experience but is not brand new to the scene. And I think that would be a good idea. I think if they do an in-house hire, they should look at Troy. I think Troy, I mean, I don't know him like too much. I know that he was with our last coach that we had, Hellenthal.
I think that was the name.
He was with him. He was with Hawk. So I mean, he's seen it all, but he's also young. Like, I mean, you see him. He looks like a grad student almost, you know. I think he would be, if they were going in-house, I think he might be the guy that they should consider. I mean, I know Tim Walsh has all that experience, but like you said, he's never had that opportunity of head coach. And maybe he doesn't even want that opportunity of head coach. Maybe he just wants to, you know, be there for the ride and help out in ways that he can. So maybe Troy.
Absolutely. I mean, with Troy, and also another benefit to him is he's actually a big part of the recruiting process. Not a lot of people would know this unless you visited QU. Troy actually meets the players when they took their visits here. So he kind of has that lot more personal connection to a lot of the recruits because he takes a lot more time out of his day to come meet these kids, get to know them, show them all around, show them the concourse, kind of how practices all operate. So I think that would be almost a seamless transition for Troy if he were to get the promotion to become the full-time head coach. And I think with him, because he'd be a little younger, you want to give him maybe a little more time than you would someone who has a little more experience, because it takes a little time to build a program, especially when you're so young.
Right. I think, you know, if we were to go a one-and-done scenario, we're not going to get what we're looking for because Zion's leaving. I mean, that you take away your top scorer and all that. We got a lot of young people with Wiek. We got Jake Hamilton looked good this year. He was a bright spot. Isaiah Foster, I'm not sure what year he is, but like I said, like, and we've also gotten a kid from QHS, I'm pretty sure, just committed not too long ago. But I think that no matter what, we're not going to see, like, a stellar breakout performance from the Hawks, you know. I think they can actually have a better record than last year if they wanted to, because I think our team isn't too old, you know. I mean, we had, who was there for senior night? It was Shockey, Solomon, and Zion.
That would indeed be correct, Tony.
Last year, they didn't even play with Solomon because he was injured with that back injury. And then, I mean, I love Nate's game. I think Jake Hamilton could probably be that filler. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, he could live up to what Nate had. But, you know, I think he's a bright spot that they need to look at. John Kelly was great this year. But I think that they should just, you know, work with what they got, continue to grow. But I think it should be under a young coach that can help them, especially one that speaks to them constantly through their recruiting visits.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on Zion departing. From what I've been hearing, he's looking to transfer to a D1 for his final year of eligibility from the sounds of things. And also sounds like Isaiah Foster is as well. From what I've been hearing about reports, I found that out from a local friend in town who's played some pickup games against Zion here in town. And Zion, I guess, let it slip that him and Foster were transferring. At least that's what I heard from the said source. So take that for what you will. So it's really going to be interesting how a lot of this program changes. Like you said, Tony, we're not expecting this program to go from second to last all the way to first place. That's right. Not the expectation that anyone should have going in this next year. But setting the program in the right direction, maybe sneaking their way in as an 8 seed in the conference tournament is probably what you'd want to. Obviously, is not the max ceiling. You'd want higher of a ceiling, of course.
Right, but that should be a great goal to have going into the season. But also, what is Solomon doing after this year? Because he was telling us when it was a senior night, he was telling QUTV about, you know, he filled in a new role with that back injury. You know, you help out when he can, help the guys still, coach them a little bit. So, I mean, could we see him be like a grad assistant of some sort? Or, you know, what do you think about that?
So, actually, Sully is actually lives next door to me up in my dorm building. And I actually talked to him about this because I was curious, like, how the guys find out about Hawk leaving and all that. And he actually mentioned to me that it doesn't sound like he's coming back next year, Sully. So where his future is going to go, I don't know. But last I heard, from him himself, was that it doesn't sound like he's coming back.
Is he going to play, though? Or did he talk about playing? Or did that back injury do too much? Or
that I don't know for certainty. I didn't ask him about that. I do know, though, he is getting ready to get married in the next months. Yeah, he proposed to his fiance. He proposed. She said yes, so he's got a fiance. So congrats to Soli on that. So I know he's focused on that as well. So that's a big commitment. So he's got a lot going on.
I was
going to
say, it seems like he's a little busy.
A little preoccupied. But with that, it's time for the part of the episode you and I have been wanting to get to. It's playoff season, baby.
It's an interesting one.
Stanley Cup playoffs. And unfortunately, as a Blackhawks fan, I have no investment in this whatsoever. But you, being a Rangers fan, do have a lot of investment in this.
I do, and I'm excited.
Well, let's go through some predictions here, Tony, about the NHL playoffs. Obviously, we missed the first day of games because Boston-Toronto played today. Carolina-New York Islanders played today. We missed Carolina did take game one. It looked like Boston was going to take game one over Toronto.
Yeah, they're up 4-1 right now.
Yeah, I doubt Toronto is going to make that comeback. So
we'll just
go one prediction at a time here just between the series. We're going to start in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
With the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So Florida is very good this year. They were good last year. They were that Cinderella team that upset the Bruins and then lost in the finals. But now they're playing a Tampa Bay Lightning team that has arguably a top three goalie with Andre Vasilevsky. So I think Tampa Bay added a couple people. That was very good. They added Anthony Duclair from the Sharks because he needed to get out of San Jose. They're just not a team anymore. But Steven Stamkos is still there. I think he's pretty much done with his contract after this year, so that'll be interesting. And you got Florida, who is what is considered the underdog team here, even though they're not the wild card team, the Lightning are. So I think I'm going to give it to Florida. I think it's going to be so tough with Vass at goalie. I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky is a great goalie for Florida too, but I think it could be a game seven situation.
So I know how good Florida's been this year. Obviously, like you said, the Cinderella run. You know a lot more about hockey, at least the players' side, than I do.
Mm.
Baseball and football, more my forte.
Right.
But I still know enough about hockey to be able to say, like, okay, this is what I can think happens. I don't usually like to say number one seeds lose, but the fact that the Lightning have such a good goalie.
Oh, I know.
Is what makes it tough, because goalies are such an underrated part of the sport. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid with Corey Crawford when he just was super, was he was inhuman. That's the
word.
Don't
forget who was there before Crawford.
Ante Niemi. Like,
and then he went to the Sharks.
Like, yeah, obviously, like, goalies are always like a really important thing, but I don't think the Lightning, even though they have all that experience and they kind of had that mini dynasty, I think they won back-to-back titles, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And they got that experience. Some of the guys are still there from that. I don't think that's going to be enough to win this series. I'm going to go with the Panthers in six.
Ooh, all right. All right, I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Next, this series makes me sad because I think I know where this is going. The Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
We could just say it's Boston already. No, I mean, I'm going to say Boston in five.
I will concur with you on that. I also just buy into the fact that the Maple Leafs are just first-round chokers.
Except last year.
They did win a series last year.
They did it last year.
And then lost in the second round. Gave a little hype.
Yeah, they did.
Took it all away. Poor Austin Matthews' entire career is going to be wasted there.
Yeah, I mean, what did he do this year? 69 goals this year.
Nice.
Yep. 69 goals and not a lot of points. That'll do it to you.
Indeed.
That's why he's not going to be a part of the MVP conversation.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, when you hear 69 goals and what's they play? Isn't it 82 games?
Yeah, 82. I mean,
so almost he's just under a goal a game, and he's not even in the MVP conversation, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, he, let me see. I'll pull up his assist while we're talking about this.
But that kind of brings us into the same thing and why I will choose Boston. I'm going to say Boston in five as well. And it's just purely down to the fact that as great as Austin Matthews is, and I love to see him get that ring and raise the Stanley Cup maybe one day, I don't feel like it will be in Toronto. I think it's a one-man show there in Toronto, and it's just him. But he's so good that he's carried this team. But I think Boston is just a powerhouse, and they're going to win this series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think Toronto has that good of a goalie. Pretty sure it's Joseph Woll. Pretty sure that's their goalie. And you just got to think about this Bruins team and who's on that team. Nobody likes him. Nobody likes Brad Marchand, but he's there, and he's good, and I will never take that away from him. You know, but they're not the same team that they were. They don't got that Zdeno Chara. They don't have they do have Pat Maroon now. Sorry, Pat Maroon is there. But Austin Matthews, 69 goals, 38 assists, only 107 points.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. For such a good player, he's not going to get the recognition that he deserves.
Although 107 points, when you think of 107 points like 6 years ago, you're like, oh, my God, that guy needs to be talked about. But now you got guys like Connor McDavid last year had 157 or 158. Nathan McKinnon this year I think's at like 130 maybe. I don't know where he's at, but
yeah, but I think all the roads are leading to Boston. And also, I had to look this up because I remember hearing about this. Boston over the last 11 years has, and I mean this, owned the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. All their series have gone to seven games, but 2013 conference quarterfinals, Boston wins in seven. 2018 first round, Boston wins in seven. 2019 first round, Boston wins in seven. There's a pattern here.
Yeah, and I think also Boston has that dual goalie system with Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark. And they got that goalie hugs celebration every single time that they win a game. But, I mean, they won the President's Trophy last year, which is such a curse. Not for my Rangers, though. All right, not for my Rangers. Don't even say it. But, yeah, this year I think they have what it takes to be a conference final team again.
As much as I'd love to see Boston choke, unfortunately, like we said, they're going to win in five.
Boston in five.
Now we move to your favorite series of this.
I'm so scared, man.
The New York Rangers, the President's Cup Trophy champions versus your arch nemesis in the playoffs, the Washington Capitals.
Yeah. Rangers, also dual goalie system. Jonathan Quick. Scratch that. Stanley Cup winner, Jonathan Quick. All right. We have him as a backup. I think that's crazy to think about, you know, the guy that leads the whole entire USA-born goaltenders with wins in their career. That's just crazy that he's a backup. I mean, he had that 2014 run with the Kings.
Don't remind me.
But, no, Igor's young. He's a great goalie. And, I mean, I don't have much. The Rangers are the most well-built team. If I told you that, like, 3 months ago, probably wouldn't have said that. But that Matt Rempe kid comes up, and he changes the whole outlook for the Rangers to where they're starting to win almost all the games towards the last couple months. But, I mean, Washington had their year in, what, 2020?
I think it was 2018, if I remember right, because it was the first year the Vegas Golden Knights were a franchise, because I remember the whole story of the Golden Knights in their first year as a franchise go to the Stanley Cup Final. Everyone thought they were going to beat Ovi and the Capitals because they were chokers at the time, and Ovi and the Capitals ended up winning it all, and a really good emotional moment there for all the fans of hockey, which is also why it's tough for me here, because I love Alex Ovechkin. I adore him with a passion. I'd love to see him win another title, but this is the real world.
Real world Rangers in five.
Real world Rangers in six.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't want to count out Ovi in a playoff series. I just don't want to. I'll give him an extra game just for Ovi.
Why not?
Then the Carolina Hurricanes versus the New York Islanders. As of this recording, Carolina won game one. So we only have one game under our belts when it comes to this.
Carolina's winning that series 4-0. I mean, they are so dominant. So dominant, and they do not let up. Like, when their foot is on the gas, they are not stopping. Islanders have Sorokin at goalie. That's about it. That's all I could tell you. Matt Barzal's good, too. But I just don't think I don't even think the Islanders wanted to be in this scenario. Heck, I don't want to be in the next round with Carolina at all, because I'm just ready for it all to end.
Yeah, I think if there's an upset coming, it might be in that second round with Carolina beating New York. But that obviously foreshadows what I'm going to say. I'm in agreement with you. It might seem like I'm agreeing on a lot, but trust me, I think it will change once we get to the Western Conference.
Well, you never know.
I'm going to say the Hurricanes do sweep the Islanders. That high-powered offense. You look back at like the Tampa Bay series, but I think with Tampa Bay, they had that experience to in the playoffs and success to win Stanley Cups that might make them a tough competition with Florida. While with New York Islanders, they might have playoff experience, but not to the caliber that the Hurricanes do.
No,
a good goalie is not going to stop that high powered offense for long. I just think the Hurricanes just walloped them all four games.
Yeah, and I mean they made that mid season transaction where they got the dude from Boston. Nope. Penguins? I don't know. They both confuse me. You know how it is with the black, yellow, and white colors. Jake Guentzel. They got Jake Guentzel from... I'm going to say that it's the Penguins. I'm going to believe that it's the Penguins.
I mean, even if it is from the Penguins, he's in. They're not.
Yep, that is true. I think that he helps that team out so much. They got Evgeny Kuznetsov, who had the most weird season I've ever heard of in my life. I mean, he was on the Capitals, then he went down to the AHL, and then I think he got let go, and he comes back, and he's with the Hurricanes. So, and he scored a goal today. So,
absolutely. But with that, we'll move on to our next series and on to the Western Conference.
Let's do it.
The Dallas Stars versus the defending, the reigning, defending
Brock. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Undisputed Stanley Cup champions, the Vegas Golden Knights. They finally did it last year. But this series, I think this is the series to watch in the first round. I really, really do.
Yeah, I think this will probably be the best game overall, best series. I think Edmonton and LA could probably put up a fight in that just because they're very same skill-based type level of a team. I just think Vegas is just going to might go six, maybe. I think Dallas is a very, very experienced team. You got Ryan Suter. He's an old guy. You got Joe Pavelski. He's an old guy. Jamie Benn's an old guy. And then they got this 25, 24-year-old goalie named Jake Oettinger that's supposed to be their savior. I mean, he did make the most insane save the other day against the Blues. I couldn't believe he made that. But Vegas is not the Blues, all right?
Indeed, they are not.
Vegas is not the Blues. And Vegas has all those guys on the LTIR that we haven't seen yet. So, because, you know, LTIR just means you could put whoever on the LTIR and cap money doesn't mean anything in the playoffs.
Indeed, it does not. And this is why I'm sorry, Caden.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I love you, buddy, but I'm going with Vegas in seven.
In
seven.
Overtime?
In overtime.
Oh, my God.
Two overtimes, to be exact.
Wow. I'll give you $5 if that actually happens. I don't see it going seven. You could see like a Vegas five or six, honestly.
Really? You're going to go against a number one seed like that? Wow.
I don't think Dallas could talk the talk.
And for those who are listeners, that is one of our teammates, Caden Witt, big Dallas Stars fan.
Huge.
But he got to watch his Texas Rangers win the World Series, so he's going to get this punishment in the first round of his Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think we're in agreement that the Golden Knights are going to win, but we differ on how many games. You say, what was it, five or six?
Yeah.
And I say seven with double overtime. You heard it here. That's my hot take for the day. Next series is another one I think is on the upset look. The Winnipeg Jets versus the Colorado Avalanche.
I think this is a game seven series. I think Colorado, always good. Always good as of recently. They got Nate Dogg there, Nathan MacKinnon. Had two crazy home point streaks this year. I liked them last year. I thought they were going to win it all last year too. But I'm gonna say Colorado in seven. I think Winnipeg has, I don't even know if they gave out the Vezina trophy yet for the best goalie of the year, but I think Winnipeg has it with Connor Hellebuyck. I think he's great. I just don't think they have the offense to back him up. And I think Colorado's offense is way too strong with Cale Makar, Jonathan Drouin, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog. I mean, they got names galore.
I am in a complete agreement, Tony, except for how many games it's going to be. I think Colorado, six.
Okay. I mean,
year in, year out, Winnipeg, from what I've seen, has always been a very scrappy team. They tend to subvert expectations. Like, years you think they're going to go far, they don't. years they might go far. I mean, the years they might not go far, they do. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Winnipeg do it because they're just that kind of team. But like you said, the Colorado firepower just is too great. I'm going Colorado in six games because I think that firepower will get them preventing game seven. Also, they get the win at home. So
yeah,
that's why I say that. Now we go to the Pacific. The number one seed Vancouver Canucks and their rioting fans from 2011 versus the wild card Nashville Predators.
That's my sleeper game. It's my sleeper game, Vancouver in four.
Sweeps aplenty. Get the sweep, the brooms out. Vancouver in four.
Yeah,
Not much needed there.
If Nashville gets a game, it's got to be at home. I just don't think they have literally anybody other than Husei Saros in the net and Ryan O'Reilly at the center. And guess what? A line one center is not going to win you a game. And neither is a goalie that was at top tier 4 years ago and is now slacking.
Completely agree. So quickly can move on from that series, yeah, that or lack thereof potentially, to what's going to be probably, I mean, I'm going to root for the Rangers for you, buddy. But, and as a Blackhawks fan, you wouldn't think I really have a team, like, but just for the passion of it all, in the love of the sport, I want the Edmonton Oilers
to win it all.
To finally do it and get Connor McDavid his ring. The Ovi story must be complete. And I hope it does so. Right now, I would say with the Edmonton Oilers versus the Los Angeles Kings, I'm going Edmonton 5.
Really?
Yes, I know I'm sleeping on the Kings. I've been sleeping on them all year.
No, you're not sleeping on the Kings. The Kings just have a very, very hustling way of doing things. I think that Connor McDavid is so good, and I think Edmonton's offense is crazy good. But I'm going to tell you right now that I would not be shocked if this game went into six.
All right. I can respect that.
My only problem is Edmonton's defense and their goalie situation is probably the worst in the playoffs.
That is the downside. But
when you're paying that for Connor McDavid,
I just want to see McDavid win so bad, Tony.
He's got to get out.
He's got to get somewhere.
He's got to get out.
Edmonton has been cursed with lack of success since Wayne Gretzky was there. They've been cursed.
Oh, maybe he shouldn't have left.
You're right. What was it? He went to what? The Kings, wasn't it?
He went to the Kings. He went to the Rangers. He went to the Blues. He was everywhere.
Edmonton fans, you got your dynasty. Now you have to go through another generational talent, but this time it's nothing but pain and suffering.
Yeah, I mean, also different time era, but I think Connor McDavid's his own person that we young guys have not got to experience. I mean, let me slow down. There is a guy named Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
I got to slow down about this.
Put the respect on the man whose jersey I have in my closet.
Hey, I love Patrick Kane. I also had a jersey when I was like, 2010 era of that time. During the dynasty, I had a Patrick Kane jersey. I just grew out of it.
You grew out of being a Blackhawks fan, too.
I had to take my... You know what? I will not take this disrespect. They should have not gotten rid of my favorite player. And even then, I took a huge break from watching hockey. Like, I'm talking like after the Hawks won in 2013, they had a bright spot with Panarin and having like Patrick Kane as pretty much his mentor going through it all. Watched them get rid of him. I mean, not that I was like keeping up so much at that point, but they got rid of him. He went to Columbus. I could care less for Columbus. They're horrible every year. I mean, I didn't keep up during that time. I do know that when he was on Columbus, he upset I don't even know what team he upset in the playoffs first round, though.
Tampa Bay Lightning, they did it in four. And I think the Lightning, this was before I think Boston set the record again. Last year, they had the most points
ever
in regular season history until Boston broke it. And they got humiliated in the first round by Panarin's Blue Jackets, a 4-0 sweep. I remember because one of my favorite sporting YouTubers, he mentioned, and he sent like a congratulations Lightning video. Highly recommend going in and looking at it, but basically laughing at the Lightning for the fact that they bragged so much and then just lost that way.
Yeah, I just I took a long break, and then when I got together, like, when I got back into hockey, I mean, it was pretty much like beginning freshman year here. But then, you know, like, as you know, I started dating Kendall, and like, she was big on hockey. So it just gave me more reason to watch hockey, like, closely, like, closer than I usually have. So since like 2021, I would say I've been big on the Rangers, but really paying attention, it's been these last 2 years.
Absolutely. But that's the first round of the hockey playoffs. We're definitely going to be doing this potentially next week for the second round because I'm hoping by that point they get all the series done. They might not. We might meet at the end of the series.
Yeah, we might. We'll probably be at like game sixes and sevens by then.
So we'll talk about the second round when it comes to that. But you have our first round predictions because obviously limited on time. We got to get a lot of this stuff out there. So we want to talk about the NBA playoffs first round as well. So moving on to that, we watched the play-in rounds. All the seeds for the actual playoffs are in. With the LA Lakers being a 7th seed in the Western Conference, the Philadelphia 76ers being a 7th seed in the Eastern, and the 8th seeds being the New Orleans Pelicans and the Miami Heat. Breaking my heart as a Chicago Bulls fan, but it just gives me
without Jimmy Butler.
Without Jimmy Butler and almost no one in attendance. So
sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel more upset that Jimmy Butler wasn't there.
I'm disappointed Jimmy Butler's not wearing a Bulls uniform. That's my problem. But then again, I got to watch Derrick Rose before his career just died because of injuries. But then again, I was a kid who liked Carlos Boozer. That was my favorite player of that time period.
Man,
so
what?
So don't judge me for that.
You might as well go like Luol Deng and somebody else like that. Come on. What is that?
I love saying Boozer.
Okay.
That was why I liked it as a little kid. I liked saying Boozer.
Now he's got two kids playing. Not in the league, but I'm pretty sure they're going to college right now.
I think so. Could be wrong.
Or they're on like ESPN's ranked top 100 for high school.
But we're going to go through the first round. I don't think this first series is going to go too long. Eastern Conference, number 1 seed, Boston Celtics. This is the number 8 seed, Miami Heat. How many games are we going here?
Boston in 5.
I am going to say Boston in 4. And the reason why I say Boston's going to sweep them, not just because it's a 1 versus an 8. It's just the fact that I just don't think until Jimmy Butler comes back, I don't know his injury timeline.
I don't know either. I just know that it was his knee, his ankle or his knee. I don't know. He went to go up for a shot, got into some tough contact and exited the game afterwards.
So what I'm seeing from 2 days ago in an article from ESPN, the knee injury makes Jimmy Butler expected to miss several weeks. So he will miss this entire series, probably unless Miami makes a Cinderella run to the playoffs, and not the playoffs, to the finals. He's probably not going to be playing in the playoffs. So well,
this ain't the bubble, so probably not seeing Miami there.
Nope. So I'm going to say Boston sweeps them with the lack of Jimmy Butler. I just don't think Miami can stand up to that dominant Boston Celtics team. But that's not who I think is the team that will walk out of the East. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But now we go to the 4-5 matchup between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. Currently, as of this recording, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a 1-0 series lead. What do you think about this series?
I know players on the team. This series is like not one that anybody, not to be mean, but this isn't one that people care about, you know? You got a really young Magic team, really young. and you got a really young Cavaliers team. I personally think that the Cavaliers are going to take it. Not even, like, they could have not had this first game yet, and I would have thought the Cavaliers, but it's got to be, like, game seven because they got Donovan Mitchell. That's, I mean, Donovan Mitchell is so, he has that experience. He knows what it takes to be a big-time role. They got young studs like Evan Mobley. And I think the Magic are still growing. They got the Wagner brothers. Shout out the Wagner brothers, Michigans.
Go Blue.
Did they both play for Michigan, or was it just Mo?
I think it might have just been Mo. Let me check here.
But you got them. Paolo Banchero got drafted two years ago. He's pretty good. I don't know. This is like a throw it up in the air game.
Both Wagner brothers play at Michigan.
That's what I thought. Under the better coach, not Juwan Howard.
Jeez. Don't get me started on that. I'm glad he's gone.
But yeah, no, I think this is such a toss-up series, but I'll give it to the Cavs.
I'm going to go in seven, but I'm going to go with the Magic.
That's fair.
Repping my Blue Brothers and the Wagners.
All right. Did I just help you with that one?
Yes, you did.
I made your decision for
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, you did. I mean, a 4-5 match, I always go seven with a 4-5 match. It's just hearing the Wagner Brothers being guys from Michigan. I mean, I'm going to go with them every single time. But I know this series is deep and close to your heart.
Ugh. I don't want to talk about it, man.
3-seed Milwaukee Bucks versus the 6-seed Indiana Pacers. If the Milwaukee Bucks do not win this game in less than 6 games, I would be very disappointed.
I will say Bucks in 6. Just like when they won the NBA Finals. I'm just kidding. I mean, it was Bucks in 6. But I'm scared of the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton, so good. And Indiana's just got everything going for him right now. You know, Caitlin Clark just got drafted, and she's a huge fan of Tyrese Halliburton.
We're going to get a Caitlin Clark cameo at this game.
She'll be there. She'll be there.
Every single game.
I wouldn't be surprised. As far as the Indiana ones, like in Indiana, I wouldn't be surprised if she was there. Giannis, if healthy, Bucks could potentially win in 5, but if not healthy, I could see this falling off for the Bucks to be a game 7 scenario.
I do think the Bucks are going to win in 5. Mm-hmm. I have enough faith in Milwaukee. Maybe this is because I'm not a Bucks fan. Being a Bulls fan, Bucks are my second favorite team because I love the Bucks. I love the logo. Always have. But I'm just going to say, I think the Bucks are the only team in the East that can beat Boston. Now, I understand the New York Knicks are the 2-seed and that they just walloped Philadelphia. However, I just don't believe in the New York Knicks. I don't believe in New York sports in general, especially the last few years where the Mets have been disappointments. The Yankees until recently have been massive disappointments year in, year out. I mean, just New York sports in general, and especially Brooklyn. Remember when they had that big three and that was supposed to be the new big Eastern Conference team, and they didn't do anything, or they were going to do something one year, and I think they ran to some team from Wisconsin.
Yep. Well, they should have beat us. They should have beat us because Kevin Durant made that shot, but his foot's just a wee bit too big. Step it on the line. That's a 2-pointer, and that's a Bucks win. I think the Bucks are scary. I think Bobby Portis has stepped up. Shout out Bobby Portis, you know, used to be on the Bulls.
Yep, I remember that. I think he got in a fight with one of his teammates. Oh, what was his name? It was Nikola Mitroc? Mitroc?
Mirotić.
Mirotić, that was who it was. I was about to say, if I remember right, he's playing overseas once again, if I remember
Mirotić,
right.
Yep. Yeah. Bobby Portis is scary. He stepped up so big. I think the Bucks will win the game if they run it through Giannis like they're supposed to. They've been, because we got Damian Lillard, we're going to run our whole offense through Damian Lillard. Well, guess what? Damian Lillard is shooting the worst numbers he's ever shot in his career. But like when he's shooting like over think they said when he's shooting over like 40%, the Bucks have lost like a couple games max.
Absolutely. But also, that's not the big thing that I'm concerned with the Bucks. And I think you know exactly where I'm going with this. It's not anyone.
No. You know exactly. We don't got to talk about the Doc. We don't got to talk about him.
The Doc Rivers curse. He is the one thing that is going to hold the Milwaukee back, the Bucks back from winning another NBA championship. And if there's one thing that I can point to with that team that's going to derail them, it's Doc Rivers.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Celtics in the finals just because I think the Bucks go on to win. I think the Knicks go on to win, sadly. And I think the Bucks put the beat down on the Knicks. And then they're going to get humbled real fast when they go meet the Celtics.
That kind of transitions into the next game. You got the New York Knicks. Just like myself, I have the Knicks going over the 76ers. I don't think the 76ers have really anything there. Don't they still have Joel Embiid?
That's it.
That's it. It's Joel Embiid and
Tyrese Maxey. He's not, I won't say he's young. He's like mid-20s. But he's been shooting ridiculous numbers. So good for him. But guess what? There's five men on the court. Two people is not saving that.
Absolutely. And while I'm not a believer in the Knicks, and I do think the Bucks would beat them in the second round, and I do think we would have a Boston-Milwaukee conference final, Knicks, I'm going to go with Knicks in five.
I'll say six.
I'm giving five just as a pity game for Joel Embiid.
Hey, that's USA team member Joel Embiid you're talking about. I'm just kidding. I still don't know how to feel about that with him being like, he's on Team USA because his son is born in the United States, so he wants to kind of do it for him, but he's from Morocco. I don't know how that all works entirely.
I mean, we've seen weirders. I've seen guys that are from the United States play for Team Great Britain, and especially in baseball. So, I mean, things have been weirder. But, yep, both of us go with the Knicks. You got them in six. I got them in five. Now we head to the Western Conference. I think this is a potential 8 seed upsetting a 1. The Oklahoma City Thunder versus the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williamson has looked good.
But is he back? Because he was good for game one, but then he was out for game two against the second play-in against the Sacramento Kings, which they walloped them still. This is where me and you are dividing, just so you know.
Oh, I know. It just feels like...
You got magic in the air?
Yes, I feel like New Orleans has to win at some point. I mean, they have to have a deep playoff run at some point. I'm so used to New Orleans just not going anywhere.
And they're going to continue not going anywhere, all right? This is not that team. Give me the Thunder in four.
You're going to go Thunder in four?
SGA, Chet Holmgren. That one guy that I don't want to talk about because of his situation that happened. You don't got to talk about it, all right? His name's Josh Giddey. We're going to go past him, but he's good. I don't even know what to say right now.
I don't know what to say. Oh, there's magic in the air, and I think this is going to go seven. My heart tells me New Orleans, but I'm going to go with my brain. I'll go with OKC in seven. I think the series is going to be a lot closer than you think it is.
All right. I mean, that's fair. I just think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is so good that, I mean, he averages 30 a game. So, and then you add Chet Holmgren, a guy that's 7 foot, lanky, can shoot the ball a little bit. Not like Victor Wembanyama, but, you know, he's got a team around him and Victor doesn't, so.
Yeah, I feel so sad watching New Orleans go in the first round again. I feel so sad. But we'll move on to the 4-5, because I don't think it matters who wins that match, because I think the 4-5 winner will be the one dancing to the conference finals.
Exactly.
It's the Clippers and the Mavs. Oh, boy. Which team's going to disappoint?
the Clippers. The Clippers are disappointing.
But are the Mavericks equally disappointing? We've already said one Dallas team disappoints. Are the Mavericks going to do two?
No. This is exactly why. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are better than Kyrie Irving and LeBron James were together.
Hot takes there. Hot takes.
It's not a hot take at all.
That is a hot take. One of those duos has a ring together, the other doesn't.
I don't think. Sorry, Wesley Martin. I don't think LeBron wins that ring without Kyrie against the Warriors. No chance. There is no chance. I don't care that everybody thinks that he's the greatest player. It's Michael Jordan. I don't care that anybody thinks that he's the greatest player. Kyrie Irving has the best handles in the entire league. He can shoot. He can shot create. He sets up everybody. I think he's that good. And then you add a small forward now, like Luka, who shoots it more than LeBron does. Because, I mean, we watched when LeBron was with Kyrie. Besides that, like, one three-pointer he shoots here and there, it's pretty much attack the rim, attack the rim, attack the rim. Luka gives you everything. Luka gives you young LeBron. Young LeBron. Now we see LeBron starting to shoot more threes as time goes on, but I'm just saying that I would take Luka and Kyrie over LeBron and Kyrie.
You're going on a hot take there, bud. Oh, man.
And I don't care about the star power that the Clippers have. They're some old heads, all right? Besides Kawhi Leonard, you got James Harden on that team. You have Russell Westbrook on that team. You got Paul George on that team. What are they doing over there?
Disappointing year in, year out. That's what they've been doing. But
I don't even think they're the best team in L.A.
I disagree on that one. hold your horses on that one. Let's be a little more realistic on that.
Mavs in six, by the way.
You going Mavs in six? I'm going Clippers in seven. I don't think they disappoint in this round.
All right, just wait. We'll be talking about this game.
No, you will. I know you'll make sure I remember this. I know you will. Now we go to the 3-6 matchup between the Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns.
That's how I feel about it. I don't know. I don't know.
Where's your heart taking you, Tony? Where's your heart taking you? Where's your brain taking you?
I want to believe, because I love Kevin Durant until he did that thing with the Warriors. I want to believe that in my heart I want the Suns to win. But give me the T-Wolves in six.
Ooh, you going the T-Wolves in six? There's one thing I've learned from watching a basketball in my youth. I don't like to bet against Kevin Durant in round one. And with that, I will go Suns in six.
That's fair. I don't think this series will go seven. That's why I didn't say in seven. I just don't know. I don't know. You got Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. That's your big three over there. Then you got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. Oh, my God. DeAndre Ayton's not there.
Bradley Beal.
He was just... I don't even know how he got as much money as he did, but he did.
He did. He got Eric Gordon, which he had his time in the spotlight a long time ago. Like, what, wasn't
long,
great,
long time ago.
I know, long time ago. But
when he won like the three-point competition that one year with the Rockets or whatever he was.
And, oh, yeah, I think this name might be a little familiar to you. You remember a guy by the name of Grayson Allen?
Do you remember a guy named Grayson Allen?
I do remember a guy named Grayson Allen. I think Alex Caruso does as well. By God's be by.
I would have done it if I was Grayson Allen. No, I'm just kidding. He's such a dirty player in Duke, and the way that he came up in the league, getting drafted by Memphis, he was a dirty player. I just think that was just a tough situation. I don't think it was as intentional as his other stuff, but it's Grayson Allen. I believe anything's intentional with him. So
Well, we're going to transition to our final series in the Western Conference. The number 2 seed Denver Nuggets versus the number 7 seed LA Lakers, who you claim is the best team in LA right now. Nuggets already have a 1-0 series lead. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Timberwolves do have a 1-0 series lead on Phoenix. That's all I throw that out there.
They beat them by, like, a lot. They beat them by, like, 20-something.
But I'm still not going to go against Kevin Durant. But with Denver, I'm just saying this. I ain't drinking the Kool-Aid Lakers fans are drinking. You can take your LeBron is the GOAT arguments and shove them.
Yes. Yes.
Nuggets 4.
Yes. Yes. LeBron is not that guy anymore. LeBron is trying to hold out for his kid, I think. I don't know what he's doing anymore.
I'm not even impressed by Bronny James. I'm not.
I'm not impressed either. His stats have not shown anything capable of his father at all.
I mean, I'm not a fully hating LeBron. I acknowledge that he is one of the greatest players to ever play sport. Any LeBron hater that tells you he's not is a liar. And unfortunately, I don't think they know ball. I will never argue that he is not in that easily top 10 conversation. Top 5 comes down to preference, really, at that point. Some people prefer to have the old school guys. Some people like having like a Steph Curry or a LeBron in there. It just depends who you talk to with that. But I think the Nuggets are just that good, and I think Denver is going to go back to the finals this year. And I'm just going to say it right now. I think we're going to have a Nuggets-Milwaukee finals.
Whew.
It's going to go all the way to 7. Nuggets go back-to-back.
Oh, I get it, because it's me here in the booth with you. All right, screw you, buddy.
I mean, it's the year of back-to-backs in basketball. We just watched UConn go back-to-back in men's March Madness.
UConn's three-peating next year.
UConn's three-peating hot takes. Actually, not really a hot take.
It's not a hot take. That man, their coach, forget his name. I honestly do. Wasn't even happy. Like, he didn't even look happy. He's ready for the next season already.
God, guys, we only went back-to-back. This is not good enough. We need to go 3-peat.
Yeah. Just to give you a brief thing, talk about our Denver game, or Denver series. LeBron put up 27 points. He shot really well. Shot 10 for 16, 3 for 5 from the three-point line. Anthony Davis had 32 points as well, 14 rebounds. Guess what? They still lost by 11. Because Jokic put up 30. Everybody in the Nuggets starting 5 had over 10 points. Jokic, 32. Jamal Murray, 22. Caldwell Pope, 12. Michael Porter, 19. Aaron Gordon, 12. Aaron Gordon had a double-double. Michael Porter Jr. had a double-double. Nikola Jokic had a double-double. Jamal Murray had a double-double.
Absolutely. I think you hit on the nail on the head with that, Tony. I mean, the Nuggets are just a much more complete team. You go in not just in the starting 5, but in the depth as well. Lakers, if LeBron and Anthony Davis are not on point, they stand absolutely no chance. And I don't see them beating the Nuggets even once.
This is exactly why Kyrie carried LeBron through that series, because he had a guard that took control. You don't give the ball to Anthony Davis to take control. They just give it to him down low. It's pretty much all there is.
Tony's going to gladly die on that hill.
Anthony Davis from 3-point, 0 for 4.
Indeed.
Got to the line probably 5 times. I mean, 8 for 9 from free throw. So he's got that Giannis-esque.
Well, that is our first round predictions, and that will wrap up this week's edition of the Hawk Talk podcast. Tony, I want to say thank you so much for coming on out, bud. It's been a pleasure talking all the sports with you today.
Oh, yeah. This was pretty fun, not going to lie.
And I'm sure we're going to be talking about this again next week on the show with all NHL, NBA, keeping up with the whole GLVC baseball playoff scenarios going on. But until then, I want to say thank you so much for listening to the Hawk Talk podcast at Quincy University. We are part of the QU Media Podcast Network, and you can find us at QUmedia.net, where we have both all our past, present, and future episodes. I'm your host, Parker Limonstone. I want to say thank you so much. And always remember, it's a great day to be a Hawk.